Alright, Jabal say good evening. Let's begin. So first of all, Yasher Koach to Yona and to Shushi for hosting the beautiful shir. Tischadesh on our new we're inaugurating the new Ehrenfeld shir room. Baruch Hashem. This will be open to anyone at all times if you want to come and learn. There's all refreshments in Yeretz Hashem.
Is this the problem you spoke about in the email?
This is what it's about in the email. Correct. There you go, you let yourself in, make yourself at home. There's really, we thank the Ehrenfelds always every week for their incredible hospitality, and it's beautiful, Baruch Hashem, that we've grown to a new makom. Our shir tonight is dedicated Le'iloi Nishmas Yehuda Leib Ben Avram. Mr. Swain Zichron Levracho, who was Nifter yesterday, with Levaya was just this afternoon. Someone who Yona and Shushi and Rabbi Bamberger, and it's amazing to see how many others in our community were metapa with a man who didn't have any, I guess what we'll call biological mishpacha, but was zochet to have much spiritual mishpacha. People took an interest in him and people who looked after him, and clearly a very special person, a very special neshama. Someone who was mezakis, so many with the ability to do different acts of chesed, and we hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. We also dedicate our learning as Eli Nishmas Ruvain's father, Kalman Ben Avram, Kalman Chaim Ben Avram, whose yahrzeit was just today. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah's Nesham will have an aliyah. Amen. And of course, we dedicate our learning in the Zuchus of Rufu Shlema for Kobi Rosemar. We're so happy that Josh is here. Don't keep the alcohol away from him. We're very happy that Josh is here with us. As you know, Kobi's undergoing some pretty significant treatments this week. That's some pretty significant treatments today. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Baruch Shem, we've had this chus till Josh and I started a chavrusa this week. We get to learn together whenever I'm able to show up, Baruch Hashem.
What do you have to do to get that?
I'm sorry?
What do you have to do?
Big bucks. It's a big donation. And so we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah that Kobi will have a complete and enduring refuah. So we'll say, let's begin. We're actually going to pick up, there's so much to speak about in this parasha. And Rabbi Nachman has so many beautiful Torahs here, it was hard to really decide ultimately what to focus on. So I want to choose one piece which I think will serve as a springboard for a much bigger discussion. So the Rabbi over here is commenting on the pasuk. If you look on top of the page, it's on the page that's marked Shin Lamed. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to mark everything off. But on the page that's marked Shin Lamed. So if you look on top, the Chumash part, if you look in pasuk Nun Hey, so the Torah says, Ach Begoral Yechalek Es Haaretz L'Shmos Matos Avosamin Chalu. So this is actually a very interesting discussion, because this is something that, again, for many years bothered me. We know that Eretz Yisrael was divided up through a goral, through a lottery. So Rashi HaKadosh describes the nature of the goral. It's actually fascinating to look at it, because it's not just a simple lottery. What happened was, is that they would go ahead, Elazar HaKohen would go ahead and take the different names of the Shvatim and the different portions of Eretz Yisrael. Before they would do the goral, so Elazar would announce, this Shevet, this tribe, gets this portion. And if you could imagine, he put all of the lots in his, mikbas, in his Kohanic hat. They mixed everything up. And amazingly enough, what Elazar said was confirmed by the lottery. So, for example, again, Menashe is going to have tribal portion A. Amazingly enough, he would pick out the petek, you know, the little piece of paper of Menashe, and amazingly enough, he would pull out the same tribal area. So the Goral confirmed that which Elazar HaKohen had already stated. I will say, this is a very obvious shayla. What's the obvious shayla? What?
Why
need a goral? Right? Meaning, let's think about this for just a moment. Right? In every single time that something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to convey something important to Klal Yisrael. So how was the information conveyed? Dibur, right? God speaks to Moshe, Moshe conveys it to Klal Yisrael, or under certain circumstances, there are other people who become the conduit for the divine message. But why do you have to introduce, let's play this out for just a moment. Imagine there had been no goral, no lottery. Instead, all that happened was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have gone ahead and announced who was going to receive each portion. So Moshe Rabbeinu would get up at the podium, he'd say, listen, Reuven is getting this, and Shimon is getting this, and Levi is getting this, and Yehuda is getting this. And that's it. Why the need for the goral? So the simple answer is because it avoids any type of potential kina. Remember, again, Rashi HaKadosh already points out in this week's parasha that the land distribution in Eretz Yisrael was not equal distribution, meaning the land was not divided up into 11 equal parts. I say 11 because remember, Levi doesn't get a portion. So it wasn't divided up into 11 equal parts, rather it was done qualitatively. So for example, again, you could have one tribe that got a smaller amount of terrain, but the soil was more fertile. Or you had some people who got waterfront property, or some people who got this, or valleys, some people got mountains, some people got plains. So everything was divided up in a qualitative fashion. So one could say that perhaps the Goral, which came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was there in order to go ahead and potentially make sure that nobody should accuse Moshe or Elazar or anyone else of favoritism, of giving any one tribe any one amount. But the truth is, we know, what's the cloud gadol in life is, the naysayers will always be the naysayers, right? Those who want to find problems will always find problems no matter what you do. So Goral, no Goral is not going to change that. So we really have, and this has always bothered me for years, always had this fundamental question: why the need to divide up the land with the lottery? What is it that's being accomplished that couldn't have been accomplished with just a direct tzivui, a direct command? So we'll say, let's take a look. So the Rebbe says in the Kutei Halachas on the bottom, right where it says Nun Hey Ach the Goral Yechalek Es Haaretz. So the Rebbe writes the following. He says, Ach the Goral. So that was, so what does this mean? Listen to what he writes. Goral, who dover she'ein mevinim. So what's a goral, says Rabbi Nachman? A goral is something that you can't understand. Ki b'chol makom she'en yecholim lehavin b'das v'seichel, l'mi magia hadover hazem atilin goral. I will say, under normal circumstances, when do you use a goral? Right, when do you use a goral? You use a goral in circumstances, ultimately again, where you can't decide on a rational approach. So, for example, you know, the other famous goral we have is when? What? Yom Kippur. Right? So Yom Kippur is the biblically famous goral, right? Again, you have the Shtei Seirim, ultimately you have the two goats, exactly identical. And the whole idea is, one Seir is La Hashem, one Seir is La Azosa. One's going to be offered up as a carbon, one's going to be pushed off the cliff. And the idea over there, of there are many similes in the Shtei Seirim, but part of the Yisod ultimately is this idea of haphazardness, of chance. So the Rebbe says over here, a goral, a lottery, is usually used in a situation where I can't use my intellect to create resolution. So essentially, where intellectual or rational thought ends, that's where goral begins. You hear this. Listen to this. It says, Nimtza, shegoral hu bebechinas ha'eder das. Therefore, it turns out that what? That a goral represents a lack of das, a lack of just under clarity, a lack of understanding. Shezel bichinas koach hamedame, shezu istalkus hadas shaz nishar hamedame. So we'll say the Rebbe calls this bichinas koach hamedame. What's koach hamedame? So you know what does that word sound like? So medame is a notion of doma, resembles. For example, again, you know the Mishnah in Meseches, I guess maybe Bikura Meiser Sheni, I don't remember which of the Mishnayos it is, but the Gemara talks about Dimua. So what's Dimua? If you have, let's see, Meiser Sheni. If you have Meiser Sheni that gets mixed in with other items, and you can't isolate the Meiser Sheni, that mixture becomes what's called Dimua. Dimua is, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure, meaning there's some Meiser Sheni, there's some regular stuff. So the Rebbe says something amazing. He says that Goral represents the lack of das. Goral represents the lack of clear understanding, and it's in the it's in the category of koach hamedame. Medame, possibilities, lack of clarity. Shu istalkus hadasha nishar medame, ubikdusha hagoral gavoa maot. So the Yetzer Rebbe says, so it sounds like Goral is not something we want, because remember again, the whole yisod in life. You know, we'll say, life is an incredible balance between your moach and between your lev. So depending on between your mind and between your heart. So depending on who you ask, so who should be the dominant partner in this partnership? Should the dominant partner be the mind? Should the dominant partner be the heart? So the answer is, it depends who you ask, right? Like most things in life. So again, for example, Rav Soloveitchik writes about the idea that in brisker thought, so emotion is a weakness. Emotion is a weakness. That's how the Rav writes. He said his father never told him he loved him. Right? Now the Rav says, I know my father loved me very much, but he never said, Yashaber, I love you very much. The Rav writes that when he took leave of his father, you know, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was invited to be Rosh Yeshiva in New York at Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, later on become Yeshiva University. So the Rav said goodbye to his father at the translation in Berlin. And the Rav said his father shook hands with him. Can you imagine this? Now understand, you know, when the Rav was saying goodbye to his father, there was no guarantee if and when they would ever see each other again. So there were no tears. There was no I love you. There was no long hugs. There was a handshake. So, but yet the Rav writes, I know that my father loved me very much. It's just that in Brisk, the expression of emotion is a weakness because intellect has to rule everything. Yet we know in the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, his Talmidim, so often the opposite was true. The intellect is always important, but the lev. Remember, Chassidus says that emuna pshuta, simple emuna, doesn't come from the moach, it doesn't come from the mind, but it comes from the lev, it comes from the heart. So the idea over here is, but one thing is clear, which is that either the moach or the lev has to be driving me. What Rabbi Nachman is positing is that the concept of gora, the concept of lottery, is the absence of both moach and lev. Because there's nothing driving a goral. A goral is happenstance. A goral is chance. A goral is medame. He goes on, but yet, listen to this statement. I should have underlined it. He says, "V'kedusha ha-goral gavah mod." Yet, despite all of that, the kedusha of the goral is incredibly holy. The kedusha of the goral is incredibly intense. He says, "V'zeu b'chinas ach b'goral yechalek es ha-aretz." Now says Rabbi Nachman, we could begin to understand why Eretz Yisrael has to be split up with a goral. So listen to this. So the Rebbe says, despite the fact that a goral seems to be the absence of the moach, the mind, and the absence of the lev, the absence of the heart, yet the Rebbe posits that goral is perhaps the highest expression of spirituality. That Eretz Yisrael could only be split up with a goral. How so? Ki Eretz Yisrael, hi ikar beirur hamedameh. Because if there's one thing that is in the Koach HaMedame, one thing that just doesn't make sense logically or rationally, it's what? It's Eretz Yisrael. He says, Kisham Daika Zochen Le'emunas Chidush Ha'olam Shehu Bechinas Beirur HaMedame Ki Kol Iker, the left hand paragraph of Bosa and Shin Lamed Ki Kol Iker Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, get ready for this, Nimshach Misham Mibechinas emunas chidush ha'olam shema'aminim shehashem yisparach bara es ha'olam. See, that both saying, the ikur kedusha of Eretz Yisrael stems from a higher order kedusha. The higher order kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is that I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and created the world. And because I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, ubertzono nesana lahem, therefore, out of his ratzon, out of divine will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately, again, first he gave it to the nations, then he took it from the nations, and he gave it to us. And actually, Rabbi Nachman over here, if you remember, is pretty much just echoing that which is written in the opening Rashi in Bereishis. Right? What's Rashi's kasha in the beginning of Bereishis? What's his kasha? Right? Why begin with Bereishis? Why not begin with what? Torah is not a storybook. Torah is a law book, right? So go ahead. Begin even simpler. Begin even with the first mitzvah. Maybe it's peer review, but that's individual mitzvah. Start with Chodesh HaKalachem. Kiddush HaKodesh, sanctification of the new moon. Start with that. That's the Torah is about. So Elamai Rashi says that you have to believe, meaning our whole claim to Eretz Yisrael is rooted in the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator. Meaning that if I don't believe that God is the creator, then what koach do we have to settle Eretz Yisrael?
Right? None. Then the truth is, what are we? We'll say, if God is not the creator, then by definition, all we are occupiers. Right? Then all we are, ultimately, again, are people who are taking someone else's land. But of course, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who gets what, the Ribono Shel Olam decided that Eretz Yisrael is ours, and that's our claim. So everything, ultimately, again, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael stems from the belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a creator. If I don't have Emuna in the Ribono Shel Olam as a Borei Olam, then by definition, there is no Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. He goes on, She'ikr Be'ra HaMedameh Hu Be'Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, he says that, therefore, it turns out that the, and we'll explain what this means in just a moment, that the Iker Bera Hamadama, what he calls the Iker idea, I want to actually quote to you from another piece from Rabbi Nachman as well. If I could find it quickly, if not, we'll just stick with this one. Okay, we'll just stay with this. So the Rebbe says, he goes on, he says, Ki im idea goro, shehula mala mehadas, vuhu bebechinas hamadamet dikdusha shu bechinas emuna ba'ashem yisparach. We'll say, listen to this. Just follow this just a moment. So the Rebbe says, follow this framework. So the Rebbe says, the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael, our relationship with Eretz Yisrael is rooted in what? Is rooted in the reality or in the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. In other words, if God created the world, then everything is His. If everything is His, then He has the right ultimately to give to who He wants, what He wants, and to take away from who He wants, what He wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore decided to give us Eretz Yisrael. That's the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is an extension of the Kedusha of the Ribono Shel Olam as a creator. So says the Rebbe something amazing. Now we begin to understand why Eretz Yisrael could only be done through a Goral. Because says the Rebbe, now here's the clincher. So what's the Goral? The Goral is Lamala Mehadas. See, here's what's interesting. We were defining Goral before as the absence of Das. Right? What's a Goral? A lottery is the absence of the Moach and the absence of the Lev. The Rebbe posits that in fact, the Goral is Lamala Mehadas. It transcends intellect. It transcends understanding, whether it be of the heart or of the mind. V'hu bebechinas hamedame dikdusha shu bechinas emunas ma'ashem yisbarach shema'aminim shagoral hu me'ashem yisbarach levad. Was here what the Rebbe is saying? Do you know what a goral is? A goral is the ultimate manifestation of emuna. A goral is something that takes place without intellect, right? Without the moach, without the lathe. The goral, what happens in a goral? Right? Goral, I simply go ahead and believe in the system. There's a lottery. There's an order. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem to follow any kind of specific seder, but I put my belief in it. Turn the page. It says, Ki machmos, she efshar l'seichel enoshi, she yuchal lahavin ulahasig chalukas eretz Yisrael, l'mi v'mi magia kol chelek v'chelek b'yichud kefi shorosh kedushas neshmaso. Well, and the Rebbe here says something absolutely amazing. He says, we don't even begin to understand how the land was split up. See, Rebbe said this, you have to understand that Rabbi Nachman was zocha to travel to Eretz Yisrael once, and that one trip made an incredibly impactful, had a cathartic effect on the Rebbe. The Rebbe's neshama connected very much with Eretz Yisrael. So he says, you don't understand something. You see, everyone thinks that the land division took place in the utilitarian type of fashion. So for example, Zvulun are going to be the captains of commerce. So if you're going to be the captains of commerce, where do you have to be positioned? Right, by the water. Right? So that's why Zvulun got their portion. And this one got this. And we assume that by definition, each tribe got their portion because of their particular responsibilities. What Rabbi Nachman says is, not that that's an untrue statement, but there's something much more profound at play over here. Each tribe got the portion of Eretz Yisrael that spoke to their ruchnius. Eretz Yisrael has nitzotzos, has sparks of Kedusha. And the sparks in Yerushalayim are different than the sparks of Hebron, that are different than the sparks in Be'er Sheva, that are different than the sparks, you know, in Haifa and in the Galil. Every part of us has different sparks. Those sparks, the nitzotzos of Eretz Yisrael, align with the neshama of the Jew. So Shevet Yehuda had to be here, because the Kedusha of Ephraim Yehuda lined up with this particular regional area's Kedusha as well. And Binyamin had to be here. And Levi had to be scattered through the 48 cities. And everyone had to have their chilek. Says the Rebbe. Can I ask the Rebbe Nachman, can you explain it to me? And what will the Rebbe answer? What will the Rebbe answer? No. And by the way, not because the Rebbe is trying to be guarded with his knowledge, but the Rebbe says, because we don't understand what it means. There are certain things like Rebbe will say, I know that they're true. I know that they're true. I just can't tell you why. I know that they're unequivocally true. Says the Rebbe, that's a goral. A goral is just emuna pshuta. It's just blind belief. Also, I'll tell you, my grandfather's a chronic levracha. So it was a Talmud of Nevadak before the war. And I remember he used to go with my brother, my cousins, to go to him during the summer. So he would learn with us every morning. And I remember as a child, whenever he used to ask him certain questions, so his answer would always be, state in the Torah. That's what it says. So I used to think as a little kid, maybe he just doesn't know the answer. So he's just telling me this is what it says in the Torah. And I only understood as I was getting older that he was trying to teach us a very important lesson, which is, before you understand things, you have to believe them. That's the way a Jew operates. I believe first, I'll understand later. Right? It's the Na'aseh v'Nishma dynamic. Meaning, I believe. Why do you believe? I can't even articulate why I believe. I can't even articulate why it makes sense to me. But I'm just going to tell you that I believe. So once your Yiddishkeit starts with that emuna pshuta, that's simple, but which is not pashut. It doesn't mean pashut in terms of simple. It just means pashut in that it doesn't require multiple intellectual dimensions. Once I have that, then I build on that. Of course, we're supposed to tamu ru'uki tov Hashem. We're supposed to understand the reasons. We're supposed to try to understand. We're supposed to bring in the intellect, the moach and the lev. But everything starts, says the Rebbe, with that simple emuna that I believe, even if I don't understand. I will say that level of believing without understanding is called goral. That's called the goral. Mm-hmm. Right? I will say everything. I want to tell you something. I thought about this year. You know, we do a raffle every year in the shul. And isn't it amazing how you know, people spend money, they buy raffle tickets, and they do a drawing, and then what happens? You know, the Schwartz is won. Everybody says, wonderful. Like, how do you know they really won? How do you know what's written on the ticket? How do you know that all the tickets in there don't say Schwartz? You know, the idea is an amazing thing that people understand that Goral is like a higher level. It's just a higher order of things. Goral is not intellectual. Goral is not deep. Goral represents, again, I believe, even if I don't understand. Says the Rebbe, there was no way to split up Eretz Yisrael other than a Goral. Because the very division of Eretz Yisrael was done in accordance with the Ruchnius, the spirituality of each Shevet, which is an humanly incomprehensible dynamic. Therefore, again, the only way to take care of that which is unexplainable is through that process which is Lamala Min HaMoach and Lamala Min HaLev, which is the Goros. So, Berak Gimon said, let's just finish this. He says, Kidushas, fine. Valkin, Siva Hashem Yisbarach Lach Lok Eretz Yisrael B'Goral Daiko, Shehaya Pirach HaKodesh Shu Beiru HaMedame. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the division of Eretz Yisrael has to be done only through a Goral. Ki Goral Dikdusha Hi Bechinas Emunos She'ma'aminim Sha'Goral Inu Mikre Chas HaShalom. Because of us, you know, we don't believe that a Goral is happenstance. We don't believe, you see, don't confuse this with the Goral of Haman, where the Goral of Haman is all Mikre, just chance. That's not the Jewish Goral. The Jewish Goral is not happenstance or chance. Or pi eze ma'arocha mi ma'arechas hamazolos chas hashalom. Nothing to do with the constellations or astrology. Rak hakol me Hashem yisbarach levad. So, Basa, you understand what's happening over here? It's such a beautiful idea. The Rebbe says, let's now take a step back and look at this beautiful panoramic picture that Rabbi Nachman painted for us. The Jews are about to go into Eretz Yisrael. So, what is the foundation block of a proper Jewish society? And what's the answer? The answer is emuna pshuta. I have to believe in the Ribono Shel Olam. Even if I don't understand him, which often I don't, even if I can't comprehend him, which often I don't, I have to work on myself to believe. Even though I can't understand it through my moach, or understand it through my lab. This was the fundamental building block for society and earth. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know how we're going to divide up the land? We'll say, can you imagine this, by the way? Can you imagine you're in the market to buy a home, and, you know, there's a couple of people who are in the market, four families, and there are four houses, and everyone says, you know what? Let's just draw lots. Let's just draw lots. Who in the years would ever go for that? Yet that's what our ancestors did, with not just individual lots, but tribal lots. Because Rabbi said the message over here was that Eretz Yisrael, by definition, is something that is beyond the comprehension of the mind, beyond the comprehension of the heart. And when something is beyond the comprehension of the mind and the heart, that's where you have to tap into your emuna pshuta. That's when you have to tap into your simple emuna, which is not simple by any means. That's when you have to just believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal, so you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael? Wonderful. You're going to be a great Talmid Chachamim, plenty of lamdas, plenty of understanding. But you know what? You know how it all starts? It all starts with the Gora. And Abbas, and now we understand also, we could take this to Yom Kippur. I mean, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but we're almost at Elul. But you understand, now you understand why the centerpiece Avodah. Abbas, it's a very strange thing that one of the most, according to the Gemara, I assume one of the most important Avodahs of Yom Kippur are the Seirim, are the goats. And I will say, now why is that very unique? It's very unique because remember, again, half of that Avodah takes place outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, again, the goat La'azazel was taken out. You could actually go. They know which mountain it was. If you travel, if you drive outside of Yerushalayim, we saw this from the bus on our Eretz Yisrael trip, right? So if you travel from Yerushalayim towards the Dead Sea, so they know the mountain, the Azazel mountain is there. So the Ish-it, whoever this individual was, took out the goat. He'll say, look, why is that the most important avoda of all the Yom Kippur? Why is that there are so many Kabbalahs brought in Yom Kippur? Why is that the most important avoda? Because they both say, what's the most important yisod of Yom Kippur? Yes, it's tshuva, and it's slicha, and it's mechil, and it's kapara. But Yom Kippur is also the day to reinforce, and to reignite, and to re-solidify our emuna pshuta. So how do you solidify emuna pshuta? Goro. Right? Wherever you need emuna pshuta, there's always the Gora, there's always the lottery. Because the lottery itself is that thing that defies comprehension, either with the Moach or with the Lev. The Gora just represents that there's a larger order than me, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls, and that ultimately I believe in. That's why Eretz Yisrael cannot just be divided up, ultimately again, through a divine statement, or through Moshe Rabbeinu's instructions. That's why Yom Kippur, it's not enough just to offer up their Kabbalos in the Beis HaMikdash. Wherever you need Emuna Pshuta, wherever you want to reinforce simple belief, there always has to be a Gora. And I will say, this is a very important yisod in our time as well, because we live in a time, you know, it's interesting, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik, but the Rav also wrote about this. He says, you know, there's a fundamental shift in the days in which we live. You know, a generation ago, like in our parents' generation, if you would ask a woman, why do you light Shabbos candles? So what would she have said?
My mother did it,
my grandmother did it. So now, if you ask a girl, why do you light Shabbos candles? So Baruch Hashem, she's going to give you 50 different reasons. Well, one candle is connected Zachar, one candle is connected Shomer, this is Shalom Bayis. What is Shalom Bayis? Is it Onek Shabbos? Is it Kedusha Shabbos? Is it, what was it, simple? What? So this beautiful on one hand, we lived in an age of increased scholarship. We do, because Baruch Hashem is unprecedented access to Torah, which is incredible. The only thing we have to be mindful of is that sometimes where there's enhanced scholarship, emuna pshuta takes a hit. Sometimes where there is more understanding, people forget about simple faith. Sometimes where there's so much opportunity to feed the moach, to feed the mind, and to feed the lev, people forget about the yisod of goral. And I will say, that's our avodah, the Rebbe says. That's our avodah for this week. To really work on our emuna pshuta. Each of us are faced with circumstances each and every day that we don't understand. And some of them are very tumultuous, and some of them are often exceptionally overwhelming. But it's those moments where you have to work on the idea that I believe there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. I believe in Him, and I believe He loves me, and I believe He cares about me, and I believe He only wants the best for me. And I believe that some way, somehow, He's going to help me orchestrate the events of my life, Latova. It doesn't mean they're going to be easy. It doesn't mean they're going according to plan, but I'm going to live my life with the Goral. I'm going to live my life with that Emunah Pshuta. So we should be Zohar Rabosai to lead a life of synthesis. We should have a life of the Moach, the sharpen the intellect. We should have a life of the lave, a life of emotion, a life of passionate Yiddishkeit. But just as importantly, maybe even more importantly, according to Rabbi Nachman, we should be zochet to have a life of goral, a beautiful, meaningful, fulfilling life, a beautiful emunah pshuta. They say, I was actually, there was an article about this, that somebody commissioned some kind of study about the relationship between scientific progression and regression of religious values. So the more we advance technologically and scientifically, the more faith is challenged, which that's just the dynamic of men. Then what were we going to say? But didn't the lottery